roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goat. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, you're listening to another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. The only show that matters. And I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goes, RA's co-host. What's up, Goes?
What's up?
I'll tell you what's up. I have Super Bowl blues. My San Francisco 49ers lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's been a rough night. It's been a rough night. Sunday night through early Monday morning. It sucks.
Is this one worse than the last one?
Well, the last one, they had a huge lead and we came back and lost. This one, we had not a huge lead, but a comfortable lead. Pretty and they came back and beat us. So, they both suck. I think this one sucks a little more. The other one, we were a good team that belonged there. And this one was a team that was... One season ago, we were 4-12, so I kept telling people, man, we're playing with house money. Whatever happens, happens. I'm happy, but no. That's just the bullshit you say to make yourself feel better.
Losing was the best thing that could have happened to us.
Exactly, yeah. F that nonsense. But anyway, folks, we're still going to deliver our MMA Junkie Radio show. Congrats to the Kansas City Chiefs, all their fans. After 50 years, that's a franchise that is actually responsible for the creation of the AFL, which became the AFC, and so you got to be happy for them people. Plus, I actually know a lot of Kansas City Chiefs fans. Josh Thompson, Jake Ellenberg, my buddy Benito Nunez, listener from Tag Radio all the way to Junkie Radio, Nick from, well, now he's in Arizona, but mm-hmm. We knew him when he was in South County, so a few others as well. They did it, so good on them. On this episode, we'll discuss some plans for International Fight Week. Also, another big-name fighter wants to get into the submission grappling game. I'll tell you why I don't like it. Logan Paul, of course, super popular pop culture dude, wants to fight over at Bellator. Bellator, actually, believe it or not, might be warm to all this. And a few other news nuggets. So buckle up, folks. Here we go with another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show on a late Sunday, early Monday, February 3rd.
In 2008, a former D1 football star pulled off a robbery so daring and so strange that it went viral worldwide. It was a perfect crime story. There was just one problem. It wasn't the real story of what happened. The Sneak is a new, serialized true crime podcast from For the Win and USA Today Sports. You can subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or get it anywhere you get podcasts on Tuesday, January 14th.
All right, Goose. So one thing the Super Bowl did deliver was a lot of media that was done because of the radio row that, you know, takes place out there, where a lot of major mainstream shows are out there constantly, and a lot of the big name celebrities, athletes, power people, you know, in different sports and entertainment, you know, they go out and they have a lot of interviews. So check this out. Jim Rome hosted Dana White. And Dana, I'll just cut right to the chase, said a lot of stuff, but what stood out to me was it looks like Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal's plan for International Fight Week. Now, I'll take you through a timeline. This Saturday, John Jones and Valentina Shevchenko are both going to defend their titles at UFC 247. Then in March, we got Yoel Romero. Excuse me. Apologies. Israel Adesanya defending against Yoel Romero. Then in April, we have Khabib Nurmagomedov defending against Tony Ferguson. Then in May, we have, from what we're hearing, Henry Cejudo defending against Jose Aldo. And remember, goes, I started saying something where I thought Stipe, once he was cleared, it sounded like him and DC could dip into maybe June or maybe International Fight Week. There's usually a pay-per-view in June, so I'm thinking that might be June, and now Dana White's tipping his hand that this might be International Fight Week. Now, that said, they could skip June or have something else in June, and this and Stipe and DC could fight at International Fight Week. But see how it's playing out? He's scheduling all his champions. The only thing that sucks is this is one of the ones I want to see the most. And when he said it, and when the story went up, it was still January. Now it's February, and I was like, man, it's like 6 months away.
You're saying Usman and Masvidal is the one you want to see most?
It's one of them, man. Yeah? I really want to see it, yeah.
Man, I feel like that's a terrible matchup for Masvidal. But then again, I feel like Usman's a terrible matchup for anyone. Mm-hmm. But that Colby Covington fight really caught me by surprise. I thought it was a way better fight than I anticipated.
Oh, yeah, it was a really fun fight.
So we'll see how it goes.
And Masvidal's just had a great year. So I think just both guys are like riding high. It's a clear number one against a clear number two. Mm-hmm. Then they got into that little verbal skirmish out there, Super Bowl radio row as well. So it's all kind of heating up. You know what I mean? For it to be like a perfect storm. Now, that said, don't forget, folks, July 31st is the opening of Allegiant Stadium, which is also known as Raiders Stadium or Las Vegas Stadium or whatever you want to call it. International Fight Week takes place 3 weeks before that. But afterwards, the stadium will be open. And I'm telling you, on one of those nights, it's going to host Conor McGregor versus Khabib Nurmagomedov if Khabib can get past Tony Ferguson. In my opinion, I think that's what the UFC wants to do. It would also fit the timeline of Khabib, you know, fighting in April, then taking late April off for about a month to observe Ramadan. Khabib would be done with Ramadan in late May, and that gives them about a good 3 months to fight sometime in August or September.
Here's what I've heard in regards
to
that
stadium.
If Conor
wants to wait that long, go ahead.
The Raiders are doing everything they can to stop big events from happening until that first game.
Oh, okay.
Well, they want everybody to come in to the point that, you know, college football starts earlier. Mm-hmm. And they're making UNLV not play those games, making them go back to Sam Boyd Stadium. Because they want to get that effect from everybody walking in the first time into that stadium for a Raider game.
That's fine, because the first weekend of NFL is usually early September. So let's just say even if they had an away game, by mid-September they will have cleared that. And again, sometime in the fall is when Khabib and McGregor could dance if Khabib gets past Tony Ferguson. By the way, someone's got an opinion on that in one of our news nuggets. And if Conor doesn't do anything to blow it between now and then, he's got some legal issues pending on the other side of the pond. That's one thing. Two, he wants to stay busy, and there's rumors out there that he could fight like a Nate Diaz or something along the way. And not that Conor McGregor's star doesn't shine 365 days of the year. It's just it might shine a little bit less if he gets his ass kicked by Nate Diaz. And plus, Khabib's not really saying, hey, look, yeah, man, line him up. I want McGregor again. He's saying McGregor needs to win 10, beat 10 fighters. And, you know, he wants to make it really, really difficult. But, you know, he's got to do what the UFC tells him for the most part. And plus, the UFC's going to shove those guys a lot of money. So I think
we're getting it one way or the other.
Yeah, we are. But I don't want to disrespect Tony Ferguson because I'm carefully saying, if Khabib can get past Tony Ferguson. So, folks, I'm with you. Now, speaking of that, okay, I'll just transfer into another thing that I caught goes some news. Edson Barboza. He has fought both guys. He gives the advantage to Tony Ferguson over Khabib Nurmagomedov at UFC 249. the deal with Tony or Edson Barbosa is he's fought both guys. He's dropping down to 145, the featherweight division. And so Helen Yee was out in Florida, and I think she kind of did a run of the American Top Team gym, because there was a lot of interviews that came from her and her partner in crime, the Schmo. But I thought it was a very interesting question to someone who's had experience versus both fighters. And he's saying Ferguson, this is the quote, "I think Ferguson has a little advantage because he is a little bit better. He's a little bit better striker. He's a little bit more creative. Everybody knows what Habib is doing, but he's doing it very well. Everybody knows, but nobody can stop it. But I feel Ferguson has a little bit of an edge because he's creative. You never know what's coming. Both guys are super powerful, but I think Habib is more powerful, especially on the ground. He's a little bit stronger, but some things Habib is better. Some things Tony Ferguson's better. That's what makes the match very interesting." But again, the title was he tips his hand towards Tony Ferguson, and a lot of people have told me the same thing.
I agree with everything he said. I just feel silly saying it.
Because the other guy's never lost.
Yeah, because it just feels like the lottery, right? When somebody says, well, somebody's got to win. Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to win. But I just feel foolish saying this is the time and this is the place, because Habib just hasn't really shown, you know, very many weaknesses at all. Like, I just don't want to be that guy on Monday that goes, did I really just bet against this guy again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. It's great insight from someone who's been there against both fighters, and it's going to be one of the funnest weeks of listening to Hardy and Gooden, Dan, Tom, you know, all the Joey Odessas of the world, my man Alsop in the UK, just listening to all the different breakdowns of what can happen, because both guys, I think Habib is either 11-0 or 12-0 in the UFC, and Tony's 14-1 in the UFC. So they've stayed at lightweight. They have a lot of experience at lightweight. There's a lot to get from both guys in film study, depending how far you want to go back to break this one down.
Yeah, I think it's one of those fights where I think Tony's one of the few guys on the planet that is actually okay if Habib takes him down, which is kind of weird to say. And careful what you wish for, because, I mean, we've heard a lot of fighters say that's just something different when that dude's on top.
Right.
But, I mean, Tony Ferguson, he comes in there with reckless abandon, and maybe that's what you need to beat a guy like Habib.
I've seen it before with guys like Nate Diaz, who, again, is very comfortable off his back, but there's still a few wrestlers that have put it on him. I mean, once you get elbowed and punched, you know, you're a little bit in la-la land, and you're, you know, those little, those hips that they say, he's got great hips. He's on the ground. You know, he's throwing up triangles and arm bars and creating scrambles. Well, all that, I mean, goes away where next thing you know, you're turtling up into a side fetal position because, you know, the strikes just keep raining down on you. So, you know, I don't want to see Ferguson there too much. I want to see Ferguson standing. I think he's very unorthodox, both standing and on the ground. I want to see the fight everywhere. And to Khabib's credit, his striking's gotten better. You know what I mean? I want to see...
A lot better.
I don't want it to go to a distance. I just... When there's a finish, it's just more... It's more climactic for me and definitive. But I want to see at least 3 or 4 rounds of those two. I've been waiting too long. I mean, I guess I'll take the 25 minutes, but I want something definitive. I want to move on from it. May the best man win and just keep this division going, you know, because there's too many names like Gaethje, he's on hold. You know, McGregor, tip of the hat to him. He did beat the Cowboy. Poirier, he hasn't fallen off. You know, we can't forget about that guy. And then, you know, all the other killers that are out there, the Kevin Lees, the Islam Makhachev's, Charles Oliveira's on a hot streak of 5 in a row. And let's not forget, Hooker versus Paul Felder's a pivotal fight as well.
What is your percentage for if that is just an awesome fight or there's some sort of controversy that they would rematch?
Dun, dun,
without.
Dun, 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 dun,
with kind of skipping over Conor.
Controversy? No.
What's your percentage?
If they come out of the, if they come out of there with just Khabib one, it's Khabib and Conor. Because
even if it's a horrific call,
something tells me Dana is just thinking this one. Look, the last one goes sold 2.5 million pay-per-views, and Conor versus Cowboy just sold 2 million pay-per-views. They're saying, I don't know. So I think he thinks that if Khabib can beat Tony, and with how hot Conor is, and this new relationship with ESPN, I think he's saying like Floyd versus Conor or Floyd versus Pacquiao numbers. You know what I mean? And plus, again, don't forget that stadium. I'm telling you, that stadium's where he would do it. Khabib doesn't want to fight in Vegas, which, by the way, is another story. Somebody asked me about that. Hey, how come? I'm like, well, he's pissed. The Nevada State Athletic Commission fined him and his buddies for jumping the cage and attacking McGregor. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, wait a minute, that makes sense. I'm like, I know, but there must be another take. Who knows? Maybe in Brooklyn they can actually ask Khabib, okay, make some sense out of this for us because you done fucked up. Anyway, sticking with the American Top Team theme, Dustin Poirier, that's the guy, goes. That's the guy who said it. I think last week we mentioned he wants to fight Nate Diaz, even in boxing. Well, guess what? He's willing, or he is signed up to fight Gary Tonin, grapple, I should say, in late February. And Gary Tonin is a jiu-jitsu wizard who fights at one championship. I think he's like 5-0 over at one championship, but he's from the jiu-jitsu world. And Substars Jiu-Jitsu announced the match on Friday that these two are going to grapple. The event's going to take place at the Fillmore in Miami Beach at Jackie Gleason Theater in Miami. And look, dude, that guy Tonin is really good, all right, for one. And I know Poirier probably has a black belt somewhere. He just doesn't. Their black belts aren't the same as the guys who only compete in Jiu-Jitsu. I think it's going to be one-sided. I've just seen too many of these in the last 5 years, 10 years. The MMA guys don't really do well. But, man, we just had Cub Swanson on the show 2-3 weeks ago. You know what I mean? Why risk this?
I don't know. I've been going back and forth on it. I mean, up until what happened to Cub, I found them very entertaining, very fun. If you can put some money in their pockets, that's great. But that Cub Swanson injury really opened my eyes to what is actually going on. I don't know that it's worth it.
You know what it's equivalent to? It's equivalent to
All-Stars.
Who is one of your coveted Redskins or even a Dodger?
Well, at this point, I think you got to go with Dwayne Haskins because without him, okay, you got nothing.
Haskins, Kershaw, right? One of those guys. How interested would you be if you heard that these guys play pickup basketball every Tuesday, you know, or they go motorcycle riding?
I was thinking that
in the off season. I mean, yeah. these guys have language in their contract that permits them, that doesn't permit them, excuse me, from partaking in a lot of extracurricular activities that they've normally done in the past. Why? Because they're an asset to a team. Dustin Poirier is an asset to the UFC. Now, apparently they've signed off. I mean, this is public knowledge, so. Granted, what we're saying right now, what we're discussing, isn't the norm. A lot of athletes came out of that healthy. A lot of the Quintet athletes came out just fine. All right, folks? Maybe a dislocated finger or whatever. But the fact remains, somebody got seriously hurt, you know? And Poirier is like, I think he's right at 30 years old. I could look it up real quick. But we don't need that guy to get hurt right in the peak, right in the prime of his career. Mm-hmm. You know, the Swanson injury, that's 9 months. And remember, Swanson said, I'm going to go above and beyond. Same thing Felice Herrick said. I'm going to do everything right. I'm not in a hurry to come back. So sure, I can probably come back in 9 months, but it'll more likely be 1 year. And, you know, they don't know because they've only gone through it this first time if they'll be the same as they once were.
I've been surprised with some of the paydays that have come out for those, but I still don't. I mean, it's not really even close to what they get for a fight. So it's like, why go out there and put that risk, especially with a guy like Dustin Poirier that has such a good upside that can be right back in the mix like that. I guess I'm leaning towards no.
Me too. Logan Paul goes, this guy, I don't know what to make of him. The fact remains
that I still don't know who he is.
The Manchester Arena, he's just a YouTube influencer.
But what does he do? What is he known for? Is he inspirational speaker?
As best I can.
DJ? What is he?
I've only seen one video. But I think basically he's like a YouTube, I think, entertainer. And what he does is he'll market like, he'll do videos of himself. He made himself a star. But I think he can also market products maybe. He'll travel the world and... Yeah, just little kids dig this guy. Enough that when he boxed a guy named KSI, another YouTube influencer. They boxed, they sold out the Manchester Arena in 2018, and then 13,000 came out to Staples, Staples Arena. So it wasn't a sellout.
Stitch was in one of their corners.
It was. It was a lot, man. It was a 13,000. It was a big deal. Stitch Duran said, yeah, man. He goes, that place was rocking and rolling. And so these YouTube influencers, they box, but that demographic that they cater to, you know, that's that young 18 to 35 that a lot of people want. Promoter Eddie Hearn got involved. You know, he paid these guys and you know, it worked out. They're boxing. It's not high level boxing. I mean, it's not two bums, that's for sure, but still it's. They have interest because they built up this beef on the internet, and the first fight was a draw, so the second time they had to settle a score, and KSI won a decision. And so, you know, look, Scott told him, you know, hey, if you're in the Miami area, let's have a chat. But the other guy was blunt. He said, I need millions and millions, but I do want to fight at Bellator. You know, and who knows if this thing might happen. He's got a little bit of a relationship with DAZN, does Logan Paul. Mm-hmm. So who knows, man.
I'm starting to think that could be a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't really, really want to see this, but man, I'll be damned. I guess if Scott Coker, sometimes we applaud him for thinking outside of the box. He's done these fights, you know, using some of his fighters with Ryzen and in the past with... You know, when he was with Strikeforce, he worked with some Japanese organizations. You know, hey, I'll send my guy or gal there. You send yours over here. It's different a little bit from the UFC. Not that the UFC hasn't done their version of stuff. I mean, look, they had, I think first Brock Lesnar was a little bit of an experiment, even though, you know, he had the collegiate wrestling background. But then they did it later on with CM Punk and a few others. So, I don't know what to tell you, man. I guess... I just don't want this guy to cash a bigger check than the MMA guys. That's all I'm saying. I want some of that budget to make Bellator a viable organization, not just Logan Paul, you know, a quick payday, a bag of money, and then he's out.
What's it say, though, if a guy like that can hustle that money? Like, how do you tell him he's wrong?
I tip my hat. But, hey, go keep doing your thing with KSI and just go sell pay-per-views and just do your celebrity boxing. Cool. But something about when it spills over in our sport and it just kind of like, man, it's so sad seeing sometimes goes like 4-4 to a fighter that, you know, like, oh, I've seen them at Tough Enough or I've seen them at LFA and they're progressing, they're working, you know, and someone else can just dip in because they're a YouTube personality.
I think, man, doesn't it come down to the promoter? That's the
way economics works. I get it. But still, that doesn't mean I have to like it.
Doesn't it come down to the promoter, though? Doesn't it come down to the promoter and the fans to kind of keep that integrity going? Because the fighters can't do nothing.
His job is to make money for, you know, for Bellator.
But people want to see what happens if like a shark and an anaconda go into two, right?
I know. You're right. Put one of the Kardashians in Foxy Boxing against some other gal. I'm sure that would sell too. And you're right. We don't want it to go. But... you know, I think one of the original ones was like Rogan and Wesley Snipes. Remember that? I can't lie that I'm not a little interested, but still.
Yeah.
All right. So enough of that one. Gegard Mousasi, he's open to Douglas Lima's idea of fighting for the vacant Bellator middleweight title fight. A little bit ahead of ourselves. We've heard about the condition in the brain that Rafael Lovato Jr. is dealing with, but technically we don't know if it's going to keep him sidelined for now. And two, he hasn't been formally stripped. It's just the idea is there. however goes, I'm not crazy about it. I think Lima is in a division where he just got paid $1 million. He just went through a Grand Prix. But you know what that Grand Prix proved to me? Hey, man, you know what? There's a lot of fighters that we got here. And a few of those guys, I think, deserve their second chance. You know, the Ed Roots and Neiman Gracies and a few of the other guys that wind up getting wins. I think Lorenz Larkin's on a nice streak. Mm-hmm. You know what? That's how you get this division chugging along here. You know what I mean? You don't do it with champ situations like what you have with Ryan Bader, where the light heavyweight division's been stale. The heavyweight division is settled now. We have a champion, but yet the first fight was the kick in the nuts fight. You know what I mean? So I just don't want to see it. The Pitbull Frady, how about that lightweight division? What lightweight division in any organization is suffering? I'll tell you who, Bellator's. It shouldn't be that way, but it's because the lightweight champ is participating in the featherweight Grand Prix.
I mean, I love Douglas Lima. He's one of my favorite fighters, but this is just a situation where there are plenty of people there. I mean, we really don't need to do it. It's just going to bog things down. It's going to make things difficult. Why? You know? I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a great fighter, and I bet you could probably prove reasons in Bellator that he deserves something like that. I'm sure he's done them a lot of favors, but I don't think it's anything that's necessary.
Yeah. Moving on goes Desmond Green is back behind bars. Man, we've had this guy on the show. Yeah, this isn't the first time we've dealt with a fighter where a situation like that comes back. He's 30 years old, but he's in the Broward County jail after surrendering on Wednesday for violating terms goes of his release. He's waiting for a DUA, a trial on a DUI manslaughter case. And apparently he's been running red lights. He's got traffic citations. It's all just building up to the point where he is in jail. He had a bond revoked, $194,000. So this dude's in trouble, man.
Yeah, I don't understand when people get in this situation where you can, you know, when you get out on bond or whatever, like, oh, all you got to do is just follow the rules, man. Like, I don't understand. I don't know
who... He should flat out not be driving, and he is, and that's the problem.
I don't know who needs to step in, but I got to imagine there's people that love this guy. Like, somebody's got to step in and help this guy out.
Yeah. All right, look, just to wrap up, I'm gonna wrap up with how we started. We were talking Kamaru Usman, and we're going to fall back a little bit on your degree goes from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Usman was on the Joe Rogan Experience. He said, I want to bank $250 million in combat sports, in basically mixed martial arts. So he's kind of shooting for the stars a little bit there. But afterwards, he wants to be a marriage counselor. He mm-hmm. says he wants to help people. He says he's really, really good at kind of, you know, settling things, I guess. And he wants to focus on marriages. So I thought it was really, really out the box thinking. You know, he said basically, hey, look, I want to leave the world better than when I came in by helping people resolve their issues or whatever. What'd you think about when you read that article? If you had that kind of money, would you, like, where you don't have to worry about the bills getting paid, would you fall back on your degree? I mean, I imagine you did your degree for a reason, but is that something that you kind of, you know, you're feeling here?
You know, I think it's a good story. I think it's a good thing to come out of a fighter. It's... Think of some of the stories that we talk about. This is one more that tugs at the heartstrings. It's a little bit more difficult the older you get to do these type of things. So sometimes something that just sounds good on paper is a lot more difficult once you get older to have to do. But yeah, if that's something that he wants to do, I mean, good for him. I think that's a great idea, and I think it's a great story.
Folks, this week is UFC 247. John Jones and Valentina Shevchenko put their titles on the line against Dominic Reyes and Kaitlyn Chookagian, respectively. That's the one time I didn't have to say respectively. I think you guys knew what the lineups were there. There's also a ONE Championship. It's going to be a nice fight week, folks. There's already countdowns there for both title fights, and you know the embeds will start rolling in. We got some of our fam out in Houston this week covering the event. So keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the week. And of course, we'll be back with another episode that drops on Thursday mornings, and we'll preview these fights at UFC 247. The Black Beast also in action goes. Always excited to see him out there performing. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MMA Junkie George for myself, at The Goes for Goes, at MMA Junkie Radio for the show. And folks, that's our show for today. Please share it, like it, retweet it, all that good stuff. Thank you very much for the support all these years. For now, we're going to bounce. We are out of here. Go out there and be a champion.